Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
From Postcard from the Past and the award-winning Wardour Studios, this is Podcast from the Past, the Postcard Podcast. This is the place where we consider old picture postcards, their messages and their images that take us from Cornwall to Casablanca, from banality to heartbreak, as we explore what it is that causes us to keep hold of these little cardboard oblongs. Each time I welcome a guest, and it's their postcards that act as small clues, prompts, to direct us towards memories, mysteries and stories. I'm Tom Jackson, and I'm delighted to say that today my guest is writer, critic, lecturer, Jonathan Gibbs. Jonathan, welcome to Podcast from the Past.
Hi there, Tom.
Now, you may know Jonathan Gibbs from his novels, Randall, The Large Door, or his long poem in response to the coronavirus epidemic, remember that? Spring Journal. Or you may have come across his online project, a personal anthology, where he invites writers and other bookish people to dream edit, to edit their sort of fantasy anthology of all their favourite short stories. Jonathan joins us today bearing a, let me see, is that an SE26 postmark?
Yeah, it is. I've been living in South East London for about the last sort of 20 years or so, brought up in Essex. So there is a sort of CM4 postcard hiding there in the past as well.
So you're staying sort of east a bit,
yeah,
but
absolutely,
not very much.
Yeah.
And how's Sydenham?
Sydenham is lovely, yeah. I mean, it's one of those interesting places that isn't the centre of anybody's map of London, but it's got a great bookshop. Shout out to Kirkdale Books. It's got a nice high street, and it's only just got a Starbucks, so it's sort of clinging on to a sense of individuality.
That's the beginning or the end of civilisation. I'm not sure which way you should look at it.
Yeah.
Now, Jonathan, do you still send postcards?
I do. I am a dependable holiday postcard sender to a select few.
Very good. And who's on the group, may I ask?
Family members, sometimes my friend Neil, who we'll be meeting in a minute. I think, looking back through the shoebox, it does reoccur to me that sometimes the surprise postcard can be a wonderful thing. But I think the people that, when a postcard lands on the doorstep, the family members probably know, oh, Jonathan's on holiday.
Okay, very well. You've created a kind of signature kind of correspondence.
Absolutely, yeah.
Well, it's better than standing outside the house with a klaxon or something, anyway. Well, before we see and hear these cards that Jonathan's brought along, I'll give you a quick one of mine. Mm. This is, of course, a postcard from the past, postcard like I do on Twitter or my book. It's an old card from which I've selected just a part of the message. And this one here, I'm going to remove my helpful post-it note from the back of it. Here we are. It's a very, very blue card. It's the River Ouse in York. It has a rather attractive decal edge.
Yeah.
It's printed by... doesn't say who. I think it might be a Colour Master card deep down, but there's no publisher named on it. It's from hard to see, early 60s, if anything, I would say. Mm. Anyway, what was it that interested me about this picture of boats on the River Ouse? The message says, on the left you see the big boats that run pleasure trips up and down the river. True enough. And it says, and by the way, this is to Penny from Dad, and it's to Penny is in Cornwall, so it's going quite a long way from York. And he says, there are lots of smashing shops here too. And then Dad has a go at the kind of youth speak, and he says, dinging frocks and shoes. And I'd not heard dinging. Is that something? Have you come across dinging?
No, I haven't. And but I. the dad to daughter, dad to child postcard, having listened to some of the other podcasts, Jeremy Noel Todd's, I remember talking about his father.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
I have a lot of postcards. From the Bodleian, I think they were. I have a lot of postcards from my father who was travelling.
Lovely.
For work from around the world. Ah. And, you know, I love my father still. But there, I wonder if historically and generationally, if there was a time, if there were a number of decades in which fathers were travelling for work,
yes,
and thinking about, you know, the reticence of the British dad, if the postcard was a particular dad way of interacting.
Dad on work.
Yeah.
I think you might be right, because also it was difficult to phone, even if you're in a guest house or a hotel or something. And anyway, what do you say on the phone? So I think you might be right, because I mean, holiday postcards from this period, and this is, like, I say, late 50s, early 60s, nearly all the cards are written by the mother, if it's a family holiday.
Yeah.
But then if dad's away on work on his own, suddenly the work falls to him.
Yeah.
And maybe he's in work mode anyway. He's had to write a report or something on the number of shoes he's sold in York or whatever it may be. But, anyway, dinging, what was it, dinging
frocks? Dinging frocks, yeah.
Dinging frocks, there you are. If I was a cliché on Twitter, I'd say, I think I saw them at the Bull and Bush. Or, that's a John Peel record anyway, Dinging Frocks. One to remember. Try and sneak that into your next novel.
Absolutely,
To be honest, you might struggle. another quick one, at the risk of eking this out. This is, what a classic image. It's Blackpool Tower.
Yeah.
And it claims to be a rough sea. Mm-hmm. Rough seas are a sort of one of the great topoi, one of the great subjects of postcards from the earliest days. And it does get rough in Blackpool. Mm. Again, actually, it's got a slight decal edge, rather nice. This one is Bamforth. People know Bamforth from their song cards and comic cards, really, later in the century. But they were based in Holmfirth. And on this one, I just thought this gives you a little picture of holiday life, really. Mm. It's sent to Linda from Pamela. Linda lived at Workington, Cumberland. And she may still live there. Mm. I don't know. But it was in 1972, August. 16th of August, the absolute height of summer. That's your summer break. And she's having a great time. The weather is hot. So a bit like it is today, where it's hot. We went to Morecambe last week, Blackburn yesterday, and we're going to Burnley today. So she's absolutely spreading her way around the northwest. Next week, we're going to Blackpool Zoo, which has just opened. We've been to see Mutiny on the Buses. And I think if you were making up a kind of cliche of popular culture in 1972, going to see Mutiny on the Buses might have been... She puts it in capital letters as well, I'm glad to say. And I'm not an expert on those films, but I have a suspicion that might have been the second On the Buses film. You know, surely the first one was to be called On the Buses.
Yeah, absolutely.
Also, you know, what better place? They're all sort of Kiss Me Quick kind of...
Yeah.
Endlessly attempt to Kiss Me Quick, I think, in On the Buses. But anyway, so that was Pamela's, the highlight of her trip. She probably enjoyed going to see that more than she enjoyed going to Blackburn and Burnley, but... Who knows?
Excellent.
I should remind all of you listening at home, the images of the cards that we look at today and we discuss are on the show notes, as they call them, postcardfromthepast.co.uk. So you can see the cards and you can see that we're not making it up, and you may have very different reflections on them than we have. Now, Jonathan, you've been kind enough to bring along to the studio some postcards of your own.
Yes.
Let's have a look at the first one. This is a town square, is it?
Yes, it is.
What have we got?
We've got a town square in Broughton-in-Furness in Cumbria.
Nice.
And in the middle of the town square is a memorial with a couple of people sitting on the steps, and there is a post bus. Yes. Are you aware, Tom, of the post bus as a type of vehicle?
I think I've seen one in the Postal Museum, but I don't really know what it's for. It looks a bit sort of Postman Pat, doesn't it?
It does. Post bus travelled up. I don't know how many of them there were in the country, but we used to go and stay in the Lake District in the Duddon Valley, which goes up north from Broughton towards Scarfell and Scarfell Pike.
Lovely.
But it doesn't emerge at the end. It's a dead-end valley, which means the post bus used to travel up and down, collecting and delivering mail, but also acting as a small bus, public bus.
Oh, I see. People and post.
People and post. And so you would, but when you travelled, obviously, you had to wait while the postman or post lady collected and delivered the post. And so we used to stay in
this is folklore that's come alive.
It feels like it, yeah. I mean, it's a place that's absolutely dear to my heart in the Duddon Valley. A slightly further branch of my family owned a hut that was built post-war. And so we used to go and stay in a hut that was on land belonging to Turner Hall Farm.
What's a hut?
A hut is a... It's glamping avant la lettre. It was a two-room hut.
Let me write that down.
A timber hut raised up from the ground with a chemical toilet out the back and bunks and, gas stoves.
Wow.
Beautifully appointed inside, but very, very... basic, but everything that you need.
Great.
I think the land had been permission or rented, I don't know, whatever, from the local farm. And so we used to go and stay there and go walking in the Lake District. And in fact, this, we'll get to the back of the card, but yes, we went there a number of times as a family, and I've been back there since as well. And so I remember travelling on the post bus. It was, the driver, post worker, would absolutely hurtle up and down the quite small road going up and down the valley. So it was quite a bumpy ride. And then you'd stop at a post box to deliver the mail, or stuff would be delivered. And, the homeowners would travel down into Broughton and do their shopping and then get the afternoon post. It went twice a day. Remember
this is the
when
sort of thing you hear about on Shetland or something?
Yeah, absolutely.
And you're in not that far from anywhere, really.
No. And so it's partly why I picked it is that it is a really it's a place that is dear to my heart, but it's also a really interesting little artifact. And if you turn it over and look at the back, you'll see there's a stamp.
Oh, yes.
Saying,
I never know what you call that. Is it a special franc?
Yeah, it's a special franc, like something like a Visa card, Visa, or a youth hostel card
that's,
stamp.
That's right. Yes, yes.
I'm identifying myself culturally here with these references.
Yeah.
And it says posted on the Royal Mail Bus, Duddon Valley. And there's the postmark and the stamp and the address and the.
So you could sort of cheat the post. You literally handed it to the
driver.
Yes, driver,
exactly. Yes. Yeah.
Lovely.
And so you can see. I mean, I don't remember seeing this on a postcard anywhere else. Please leave the space above the line clear for postal franking.
It
sort of limits the amount of space for writing. And in fact, in looking through my shoebox of postcards, I was intrigued and amused. Some postcards really cramp the amount of space that you've got to write, don't they?
Yes.
With the amount of detail that they give.
Yes.
What is the function of this postcard? Is it to...
This can be a blessing, of course.
Yes, absolutely.
Shorter messages.
So the date on this is the 5th of August 1977, which makes me 5. It's addressed to me. It's addressed to me at my childhood home in Essex. It's written by my mum. And the next card after this, which I haven't brought in, so we went back the next year and I wrote the next one. Addressing it to myself, and so my parents would...
As a sort of souvenir to yourself?
Yeah, something that my parents encouraged us to do, a few times. So I've got, four or five postcards from various places written to me by me. And I've encouraged my children to do that as well, because I think it's the sort of thing that you don't... At the time, it doesn't really mean very much, and you get home, and, look, I've got a postcard.
Yes,
that's
yes.
funny. But
and in
40
fact, you know
years
what?
Later...
I found this a few times recently. I've sent cards from holiday to... family. Hmm. I think I wish I'd sent one to myself,
yeah.
If only to see if they'd arrived.
Yes.
So I'd know.
Yes.
A sort of like a kind of reference point.
Yeah. And how long nowadays it'd be also, will I be home before the
card arrives? Oh, these things can be very erratic, whether you're in Britain or Italy or Spain or wherever you are.
Yeah. So this is 1977. The 1978 card I wrote to myself, and you would have had the sort of scrawly 6-year-old handwriting. Jonathan stayed at Seathwaite in the Duddon Valley from July 30th to August the 6th, 1977, and travelled on the post bus on August the 4th. This journey was made to collect the milk from Hall Dunnerdale Farm on a very wet day.
It does read a little bit like a police statement, you know.
Yeah, I mean, but I'm hoping, it's there for my biographer as well, in
exactly.
future years. They'll be able to pin me
Get
down.
Get your papers in order.
Yeah, absolutely. But, I remember, collecting
Fantastic.
The milk from the farm, and all these things that... they disappear and recede into the distance, you don't think very much about them. And then you remember, actually, yeah, when you start talking to your children and then you realise how old you sound.
Yes.
And that's because you are. So I love that for its moment in time. And that, you know, there is information there about on the postcard about the beautiful Duddon Valley. The post bus travels through the beautiful Duddon Valley in Lakeland with mail and passengers. The buses are being introduced by the post office in some remote areas where there is no public transport.
Fair enough. That explains it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
There is a story that I read, I think, in Alan Johnson's book about when he was a postman, about, I hope I've remembered this right, Geoffrey Bernard, you know, the alcoholic writer.
Yeah.
Apparently he used to get a lift into the station or something. He would post a letter, and then when the postman came to pick it up, he'd get a lift in the post van or something. I don't remember the ins and outs of it, but basically he was sort of improvising a version of what was going on here.
Yeah.
People and post in the same vehicle.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you're very lucky. This was locals and holidaymakers rather than louche columnists. Heading off up
I don't remember them. I don't remember them. But the only literary collection I know that's not the sort of Lakes Poets is that the Turner Hall Farm does turn up in Richard Adams' novel The Plague Dogs.
Oh, goodness me.
Which is a really great novel. Do you know that one about
dogs? I've
never
read it. I remember it when it came out. But
yeah,
I never
dogs
read it.
That escape from a sort of animal testing lab. And they part of their journey, it's very specific. You can follow it on a map and it goes right through the farm that this that this hut was on.
This would be about that time, wouldn't it? 77? Was it coming?
Could well
then?
Be. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
No, there were no wild barking outside your hut.
Not that I remember.
Well, thank God for that. Well, that's a very nice card.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for that. I'll do another a quick one of mine. Now we're in Paris, as is as any fool can see, and it's Montmartre, it's Sacré-Cœur, with a sort of a turquoise sky that's been injected onto the card. And again, I'll put a little note on the back of this. This is from 1966. So a good year for postcards. Mm-hmm. Just trying to see what I mean. Oh, yes, that's a very strange one. This is from Victoria. And Victoria's writing, she's writing to Worslade Road in Tooting, not far from where I've got a lot of postcards. Mm-hmm. And she's written to Sue, Chris and Katie. And she's having a marvellous time, she says. She's been up Notre Dame Towers, second floor of Eiffel Tower, and Gallery Lafayette. And then I tripped over a roundabout yesterday and I suddenly realised I was in the middle of the road, cars all around me, flat on my face. I thought, well, that's a trip to Paris you're not going to forget.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, that was Victoria's experience of being in Paris. And why not?
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
You're listening to Podcast from the Past, the Postcard Podcast, and my guest today is Jonathan Gibbs. Now, here's a surprise. We've received a postcard.
Oh, wow.
And this one says, please could you play the following records if possible, before April the 26th, because I go back to school then. One, Written on the Wind, Roger Daltrey. Two, open brackets, Don't Fear, close brackets, The Reaper, Blue Oyster Cult. Three, How's That, Sherbet. Thanks in anticipation, Bernie Jackson. No relation. P.S. I would like a medium-sized T-shirt. Well, sorry, Bernie. We don't take requests. Now, Jonathan, let's get back to your postcard stories.
Yes.
You've got something that is going to make our heads spin here. So what's this one?
So this is a postcard from 1991. The front is a quite traditional holiday resort postcard. It is the front. It says where it's from. It is Almeria. And it is the front of a sort of stuccoed old local house with lovely tiles and some kind of climbing tree up the front and some little old windows. And it's got that classic holiday trope of a scrawled arrow showing where the person is staying, and that usually is hotel.
Yes,
which is like, this is our
room.
Window here. But this
say?
Has got scrawled on, I think, therefore I am here, I think.
Oh.
Which is a clue to what's going to happen.
I think we're dealing with clever teenagers.
Teenagers, indeed. Yeah, this is a postcard from my dear old school friend, Neil Cole, who still, we still get cards from each other on holiday now. And
Not Neil Cole, the presenter, television presenter.
Yes, absolutely, yeah.
Oh, yes. I used to work with Neil many years ago.
Oh, okay, yeah.
In
absolutely.
A very brief and ships in the night kind of work.
Yeah,
there
yeah.
you go.
Very, he's done music and extreme sports and those kind of things, Formula
well,
E
there you
at
are.
The moment.
Send him my regards, absolutely. He won't remember me.
Absolutely, I'm sure he will. And so it's addressed, it's got the Essex addressed in red, Inglaterra. And then my name is John Gibbs, and it's got, do you ken John Gibbs? And that's
okay.
That's an in-joke, clearly,
yes.
Because, in fact, it's too long to explain why, but my nickname was Ken at school.
Oh, goodness,
and then, man. So, it's slightly, the lettering is interesting, but the actual text of the postcard is written in a spiral.
Brilliant.
Starting at the outside and going all the way into the middle, which means it makes it very, very difficult to read, far more fun to write than it is to read.
But it really engages you, doesn't
absolutely,
it? Absolutely,
yes.
You've got to hold on to that while you...
Yeah, and you've got
brilliant.
To turn it around.
And he's made the effort. He's really pushed.
Absolutely, yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. And so, I would have given as much as I got. So when I say that this is the clever teenager, it's the trope of the performative postcard.
There you go. That's cool.
It's the postcard which is... if it was a letter... It would just be between me and you,
yes.
and, like a love letter or a friendship letter, and whatever you put in there is for your eyes only. But this is, here are, isn't it fun when our in-jokes are broadcast to the postman and they will roll their eyes and they won't get it, man, because they're too old and square.
But
and
it's just openly playful as well, actually,
exactly,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Just a nice, what shall I do? How shall I make this interesting?
Yeah, yeah. And because, maybe his mum had said, oh, come on, Neil, we're on holiday. He's on holiday with his mum. And, you need to send a few postcards. Send one to Jonathan. It's like, okay, mum.
Yeah.
So, so some fun was had. And so I won't read all of it, but it starts, Dear Blossom. And the sign off at the end.
I forgot that's the name we should call you.
Well, I'd forgotten pretty much too. And the sign off at the end is a squiggle that's actually a petal. So our nicknames, we were in a band together and our sort of band names were Blossom and Petal. And
right.
And until I found this postcard in the shoebox, I'd forgotten which one of us was Blossom and which one was Petal. So clearly
right.
I was Blossom. So, there's lots of information there about I'd been on... I think I'd spent a year abroad in France. There's reference to that. He's talking about a student play that he's going to be in, University of Bristol, the Crucible, that's there. So, there's lots of information.
So you're a little bit older than I thought there. You're not 12.
91, I think we're sort of... I'm ashamed to say we're 19.
Right. I'll say no more. Look, you could win an award as an experimental novelist with writing like that.
Absolutely,
so
it's balancing that on the edge between teenage precocity and adult precocity.
If it was in French, it would have got the Nobel Prize.
Exactly. I picked this because again, it's one that I've kept. You shove these things in a shoebox. And at a certain point, you go through and you chuck out some of them and keep some of them. And as well as some, love letters tied up with ribbons. There are postcards from friends and postcards from Neil that represent who we were and how we interacted with each other. Yes. And at that time.
And if you go into the love letters tied up ruins, you might shudder.
Yeah.
But if you pick up a postcard, you probably won't.
No,
it's probably okay, because it was always
semi-public. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I did get advance notice that you were bringing this card, and I went into my extraordinary filing system, marked up vintage postcards, orthography, strange writing.
Yeah.
And I found one from... I mean, I shouldn't really be doing this. It's not meant to be about showing off. But anyway, 1915.
Wow.
So a little bit earlier. From someone we don't know, anonymous person, to Mr. Whittle of Sandpit Farm, Henley Road, Ipswich. And they've played the same game.
Wow, that's incredible.
The only difference is they start in the middle and work their way out.
Oh, dear. Did you decode that? Puzzle, find the love. And there's lots of X's at the end, so it's obviously... There's love in there, isn't there?
It's referring to the picture on the other side.
Oh,
it's
okay.
A sort of cutesy...
Yeah.
A boy and a girl love scene.
Yeah.
And it's saying, wouldn't it be great if you had someone like that, do you, A, kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
These Edwardian cards tend... actually posted for it, but these early cards... They like a lot of what you might call sort of not suggestive, sounds like they're actually rude, but kind of hinting at a cheeky romance.
Yeah,
kind of
is there anyone special?
Yeah,
I mean another card that I've that I could have brought in has got mirror writing.
Ah, very good.
I don't know if you have any of those in your files.
Don't ask.
The mirror writing one. I don't.
That's hard work.
It's hard work, and what's interesting is that it was very, very close call. It was my third choice. It's addressed to a couple who were friends of my grandfather's by a person unknown. It was addressed with their name, but not their address. It was stamped, but not posted. And when I spoke to my mother about it and sort of sent her a photo of it, she said, "Oh yeah, Bob and Dot. Bob worked with your grandfather in code breaking in the war."
Goodness me!
So, which I knew he'd been involved in that, and suddenly it clicked with the mirror writing,
yes.
And there's reference to smoke signals and stuff like that. So it was clearly just a very, very low key, again playful. You know, at that point, probably that wouldn't have been common knowledge, but it's a way of saying you and I know.
Yes,
and
yes.
Here's what we're doing. Mirror writing is just a reference to,
brilliant,
to coding.
So something that just seems really eccentric actually had some meaning behind it,
exactly.
if you knew.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and and of course, postcards, it's that public-private thing again, isn't it? In a way, postcards will have to encode anything really important.
Yes,
in all manner of ways.
Yes, yes. And, I mean, in Edwardian times, they use all kinds of codes, all these dots and dashes, or if you both understood shorthand.
Yeah, and that goes back to Alan Bennett and Burma, and
acronyms.
Yeah, be upstairs ready, my angel, and that kind of thing.
I think some of these are made up, aren't they? They're a bit like those a murder of crows and things. Didn't someone just make these up later?
It's sad to say you're probably true.
The Plowman's Lunch Syndrome.
Yeah, yeah.
Very good. Thank you very much for showing me these cards, for sharing them.
Not at all.
I think it's actually, they're making my head spin a bit, literally, which is a good thing, I think. Maybe we should put a pin in that one and spin it around.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you for sharing them also with our listeners. Reminding you, everyone at home, you can look at these cards and you'll be able to see a spinning message if you go to the blog, which is postcardfromthepast.co.uk. Now, before we let Jonathan out into the genuinely blazing Fitzrovia sunshine, it is customary for us to end the show with one of these. I'm handing an object to Jonathan.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, I mean, I'm sure you know what this is.
It's a flexi disc.
Well, it's kind of it's a not very flexi disc,
right?
Because it's cardboard, not thin.
Yeah.
Whatever you'd call that, thin vinyl.
Yeah.
But it's a postcard. It's a postcard with grooves.
Yeah.
And this one, I think, is Hungarian, if I've looked correctly. And young Tom has prior knowledge of this. And he has, I think, made a digital file.
Oh, let me
Goodness me. Does it say what the music is? Does it say on the card what the music is?
I'm sorry. Choir and Orchestra of the State Folk Ensemble, conducted by Imre Kjenski.
Oh, well, he was a very good Imre. It's a bit scratchy. It's taken a bit of a battering on the way from Budapest. But I always say the same thing. It's not bad for a piece of cardboard.
Absolutely.
This has never been sent, this one, obviously.
Yeah.
Bought and loved.
The most recent addition to my vinyl collection is a 12-inch that is a recording of my parents-in-law's wedding.
Wow.
They're celebrating their 60th wedding anniversary in 2 weeks' time. It must have been recorded to tape.
Quarter inch or something.
And then transferred to vinyl.
The vinyl is from the time?
Yes.
Goodness
and so
me.
Now my job is to transfer the vinyl back to digital so that we can have extracts from it playing at the 60th wedding anniversary party. It just makes you...
There is something circular about
yeah,
that,
absolutely.
And not just the record. Goodness me. So just remind of yourself, what we have here is an illustration of a girl in... she's been collecting grapes, I think.
Watching grapes?
Watching grapes, yes. Maybe that's just the way it's described.
Yeah.
Well, I think she's come to an end, so we'll have to say that's it for this time on Podcast from the Past. I'd very much like to thank my first-class guest, Jonathan Gibbs, for sharing the postcards from his past. And thank you, Jonathan, and thank you for listening. Bye for now. You can see more postcards with their messages posted every day on Twitter. Do follow me, at @PastPostcard. And you can buy the book, Postcard from the Past, by me, Tom Jackson, at Amazon and all good booksellers. And if you're looking for podcast production, check out wardorstudios.co.uk.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.